Please turn with me in God's Word to Luke chapter 5. And as you're turning to Luke 5, I'd just like to return greetings from the church in England. We're so thankful that we have this fellowship in the gospel, and particularly your dear pastor and I are good friends, as he mentioned. I never fail to learn something good and useful from him. And glad that God has brought him here and that the Lord is blessing this church. Well, we're in Luke chapter 5 and begin in verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report went about him, went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to desolate places to pray. Well, this morning we consider Jesus and this man with leprosy in Luke. And leprosy, as you know, back then and even today remains in many places a dreaded disease. It has very extreme consequences, both medically and also socially. Just on the physical side, I understand that there's two main aspects to the disease. There's a part that you can see and there's a part that you can't see. The part that you can see is the lesions on the skin and the deformity in cartilage that is so grotesque and deforming that you can see on a leper, and you know there must be something terribly wrong. It makes the person so repulsive that they even want to cover their face. They want to cover themselves, because they understand that they look so terrible. The part you can't see directly, in some sense, is even worse than that. And that's the nerve damage, because it also attacks the body's nerves. It destroys the body's ability to feel pain, for instance, in the extremities. And at first glance, you might say, that's a good thing. Well, wonderful, they can't feel pain. Wouldn't I love to be in their position? But you have to think about it a little bit more. You know, if there was nothing that could harm us, then that would be great. But the problem is that in a fallen world, there are lots of things that can and do harm us. And God's gift to us in that sense is the ability for us to feel pain. And the reason why there's so often missing lepers or missing fingers and toes is because they can't feel that pain. And therefore, they end up injuring themselves in all sorts of ways, and they have no warning about it. They lack this very important warning of pain. Well, that's just the physical part. Just the physical part. And then there's the social part. Leprosy made you, and again, even today, it still makes you in certain parts of the world, it made them an outcast. As soon as they were found to be a leper, they were an instant outcast. They were cast out from their home, cast out from their village or their city, cast out and forced to be in a leper colony. Did you know there's over 1,000 leper colonies still today in India? That's what happens to you. You're cast out. In Old Testament Israel, in God's people, you are forbidden even to come into the temple of God. Cast out from your family, cast out from your community, cast out even from the temple of God. That is what was so terrible about leprosy. And in all these ways and many more, leprosy, I think, is the absolute perfect picture of the human condition of sin. Because sin renders us, among other things, insensitive to how bad our situation is. We're continually making it worse for ourselves because we don't know what we're doing. And all along, whether we see ourselves or not, we are repulsive in the sight of God. If you're a sinner, that is what you look like to God. And all of your deformity and your grotesqueness. we're repulsive to him. And it certainly makes us an outcast. We are going to be excluded from heaven and condemned to the miseries of hell. Our situation is very dire. This morning, though, we're going to hear about a man who not only had leprosy, not only a little touch of it, but he was full of it, the scripture says. He was full of leprosy. And yet he walked away from Jesus completely clean, completely. If we have something in common with this man spiritually, and I think we do, then we need to learn something from him. And how it is that he walked away so perfectly clean. Our title this morning is, If You Are Willing, You Can Make Me Clean. And we have these 3 points. First, the man was full of leprosy. Secondly, but full of faith. He was full of leprosy. But second, he was full of faith. And third, Jesus is full of grace. The man was full of leprosy, but full of faith. But Jesus is full of grace. First, the man is full of leprosy. We read in verse 12, And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy. Now, I have mentioned to you, I've given you a kind of brief introduction to what was so terrible about leprosy, but you know, you can get even more of that even in the Word of God. The wonderful thing is that the Word of God is sufficient. It interprets itself. All you have to do is look at the ceremonial law and see all of the provisions made for someone who had leprosy, and it's long, it's lengthy, it's detailed. We mentioned how bad the medical condition itself, the social dimensions of becoming an outcast. But there in that extensive list in God's Word, a detailed list of procedures from the ceremonial law in Leviticus 13, the first 44 verses, it simply have to do with the diagnosis. You know what that tells you? It's absolutely crucial to get that diagnosis right. 44 verses, because it is absolutely crucial to understand whether or not you actually have leprosy. Why all the trouble? This is a very serious thing to have it. If you have it, a very serious set of things have to be set in place to deal with it. You better get it right. This is not something you want to make a mistake on. It's not something, I don't know, you might have leprosy. If you do, maybe you don't. I'm not sure, but you might. You don't want that. You want to know for sure. So here's what happened to someone who, after all that, after those 44 verses of diagnosis, is indeed found to be a true leper. Indeed, that, you know, that's what you became. It wasn't just that you had leprosy like you had a cold or a flu. You have become a leper. And here's what happens after all that in Leviticus 13:45. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, and he shall be unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp, despised, feared, cast out, alone, and no one will ever touch you again. It's not just that they don't want to. It's that they're absolutely strictly forbidden from doing so. That's why they had to make that diagnosis right. Because it was so dread, so feared. And so when we come in our text to this man who was a leper, we need to understand that this has been his life. It has been, for who knows how long, we don't know, but this has been his life, his dreadful existence, utterly cast out and alone and feared and despised. If he ever comes into contact with anyone clean, anyone normal, anyone decent, he has to say, unclean, unclean. Imagine that what that would do to you. But in this case, the text also says that he was full of leprosy. Those there are. I mean, leprosy, you're a leper, doesn't matter if you've got it. And that's one of the things that you'd find if you read those 44 verses of diagnosis. It does not matter if it's a little bit or a lot. All the same things apply to you. All those same being cast out, all the dread consequences is all the same. But in this case, the text says he was full of leprosy. It's no minor case. He had it everywhere, and he had it bad. You know, again, I hope that we cannot fail to see the likeness of what it is that we are in the sight of God. We are not just sinners in some superficial way, not just sinners in some isolated or contained way. We sometimes think that we are. We always do. We look at God's law and we say, God's law, yes, and we're like the rich young ruler, and you know, all these things I've kept from my youth. And we'll admit that sin that we don't like to think about, that the fact is that we are utterly fallen into, that we are enslaved to, that addiction, whatever it might be, that idolatry, that sin. We are full of sin. It's disease. It's not in some isolated way. It permeates our whole being. No part of us is untouched by it. It is in our mind. It is in our hearts. It is in our souls. It is, and the effects of it certainly are in our bodies. We are sinners. We have this disease and we are full of it. But more on that later. The point is here that the man had the most serious disease that the ancient world knew of, and he had it through and through. He was full of it. That was his condition. This man was full of leprosy. And secondly, we see that he was also full of faith. Carrying on in verse 12, it says, he saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, brothers and sisters, that is what faith looks like. That's what faith looks like. Now, it's a gift. If he's got it, the Scripture tells us it is a gift. We're talking in Sunday school this morning. We never look at faith as some work that we do and some performance by which we merit God's approval. It's not that it comes from us. If we have true faith, it is a gift. So we need to make sure that we understand that at the outset. But we also need to see this is a wonderful picture of what that gift looks like. This is faith. Now, first of all, notice that he saw Jesus. And don't just let that brush past you without notice. We immediately know that his situation is not hopeless, because in the providence of God, he has come face to face with the one man who could do something about that. I don't know how many million people lived in the world at that time, but I can tell you, if whatever amount of millions it might have been, this was the only one that could do him any good. This Savior, the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one, and he has seen him. He is face to face with his Savior. The situation is not hopeless. And we must see Jesus if we're going to be able to put our faith in him. We're, again, in the Sunday school, we're talking about faith. And faith is not groundless optimism. You know, that people talk about you and pat you on the head as if to say, you know, oh, this is wonderful, you've got faith. Oh, they've got such faith. It's not like that. It's based on knowledge, objective, hardcore truth. It's about the truth of Jesus Christ. This man could have had all the, quote, faith in the world, and if he didn't know Jesus, he hadn't seen Jesus, he wasn't before Jesus, wouldn't have done it any good at all. He was there. We must see Jesus if we're going to put our faith in him, and he certainly did. It's based on what he knew about Jesus Christ, you see. There he is. He saw Jesus, and he believed he was able. Some people, you know, see Jesus, but they don't get that other part. Yeah, faith has more than one component. It starts with knowledge, but it goes on to an ascent of that knowledge. You like what you see. You see him, you know something true, and you like what you see. You assent to it, and also you put your trust in it. He believed that he was able. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Believe that Jesus was able to help him. That's what, you know, it's another story that illustrates that in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, and starting in verse 28, I'll read it to you. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. It's a crucial thing. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do this? And he did. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Again, in the very chapter read this morning in Sunday school, Romans 4, verse 21, it says of Abraham, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform," that is what faith looks like. Convinced that he's able to do what he's promised. And the only question is, only question in the mind of this leper, and the only question that should be in any of our minds is whether he's willing. If you are willing, you can do this. And there's where we come to the heart of God, isn't it? So we know that God is all-powerful, and we must believe that. We must believe that he is able to do anything. And it does not matter how full of leprosy or how full of sin that we might be, he is able to fix it. And the only question that's in our mind is whether he's willing to do that or not. Whether he's willing. You know, I would say also, funny enough, this man, it says, and he implored him. He fell on his face and he implored him. And that, again, that is a response of someone standing before the Lord and understanding that if he gets something from the Lord, it is a matter of grace and not of necessity. Because we have to understand that too. We don't come to him like a vending machine. Do you know what I mean? When you come to a vending machine and you put the quarters or you put the dollar in there, you don't say thank you, vending machine, when you give the bag of potato chips or the candy bar that comes out of there. You're not filled with gratitude to the vending machine. You have simply played the machine the way it should. And if the vending machine didn't give you what you wanted, you would shake it. You would yell at it and you would demand justice from it because you put in the dollar and you want your stuff. That is not the way that we interact with the living God. He does not owe you a single thing. When you come to him, you say, if you are willing. Now I'll say this. I don't know, maybe someone can correct me here, but I don't know of a single instance in Scripture when someone repentant like that, aware of their need and repentant and humbly coming to the Lord and saying those very things, that he was ever turned away. Because we know he is an incredibly merciful and gracious God, but we never come demanding a single thing. It is not a right. It is not of justice. It is of grace. And this man was full of faith, not only that God was able, that Jesus Christ was able, but that he suspected and he was not wrong, that he was also willing to heal him. He was healed. Because that's our third and our final point, that Jesus is full of grace. Verse 13, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. You notice what it said, he put out his hand and touched him, I'm willing. You know, the other telling of this, we're so thankful, the Word of God is so beautiful, other parts of it help us to understand it. And the other part, a telling of this in the Gospel of Mark, adds this crucial little bit of information that helps us to understand. In Mark 1:41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. You see that? He's moved with compassion. That's not something the vending machine does. It's not something that a false idea of God does. It's something that our Lord, the one who is the image of the living God, the invisible God, he was moved with compassion. And he said, I am willing, be clean. Brothers and sisters, when we come to Jesus Christ, we have to know that about him. That Jesus Christ can be moved with compassion in the condition of his people. Like when he looked at Jerusalem and saw their terrible state and he was moved with compassion. When he saw the situation of the people there scattered on the hillside coming to him as he was about to feed them. They were like sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. That is our Savior. And with this being moved, he says that our passage says that he touches him. And this is the outward demonstration of the grace of God. And we have to understand two things here. First of all, that gesture was unnecessary. He didn't have to do it. Jesus healed lots of people, you know, without ever touching them. In fact, one time, somebody's faith is demonstrated precisely in saying, "You don't even have to come into my house." It's a situation with the centurion. "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and your servant will be healed." And he did that. "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And so far from being necessary, he could have cleaned him without even physically getting near him. It wasn't necessary. And secondly, you have to understand that anyone else would have been deathly afraid to do that. Because in those long lists of regulations having to do with those who had leprosy, certainly included is you dare not touch someone with leprosy because it will make you unclean too. You know, people are just as liable to become unclean as the one who already has it, you see. Just as liable. It's like taking some small glass of water and giving it to some man who had been working on a pig farm all day and saying, "Wash your hands on it." You can't then drink from that glass because it's unclean. But Jesus isn't like that, you see. He's full of grace. He's full of the ability and the power to forgive. He's like a giant fountain. He's like Niagara Falls. It's not going to matter if you put your unclean hand in Niagara Falls. It's just going to keep coming. And there's no way that you can make it unclean. That's what Jesus is. He's not eligible to become unclean. He is a source of all cleansing and holiness. This enormous, powerful fountain. And he deals with our sins. They're washed away. They're out of sight. He said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. The fountain is striking that man and it is washing away all this leprosy and it's all gone immediately. You know, even if we had the power, and I'll tell you, the medical science even now today isn't all that great with this particular condition. Of course, there are some things that can be done. But even if you immediately heal the source of the disease of somebody, they would not be like this man. You cannot undo all the ravages that this disease has done over the years. You just can't undo it in a moment of time. And it is immediately done. It's clean. He is done. The leprosy left him. That's the kind of power that Jesus has. That's the kind of power that Jesus has. Well, let me move now to application. It's our custom in the UK to have the explanation. And now, some more specific practical applications of these things. The first one is, let me give you your diagnosis. If you are apart from Christ, here's the diagnosis. You're full of sin. Again, in the Old Testament, the priest had to go through that long set of diagnostic tests because he didn't want to get it wrong. Well, let's just go briefly through it. Are you a descendant of Adam? Did you come through Adam and Eve? Well, first of all, I have to say you're a sinner by nature then. Original sin. Next question I have to ask. Patient, have you broken any part of God's law? You know the Ten Commandments, right? There are 10 of them. Deuteronomy 6:5, just to add to it, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And Leviticus 19:18, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to ask, have you done that? Have you done that every moment of every hour of every day of your existence on this earth? Have you truly loved God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? No? Then you're also a sinner by choice. You are full of sin. That's your situation. You know, Clint had the rag out, and I think he was thinking of Isaiah 64:6. What it says is there, we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. And what always strikes me about that, it is not our righteous things are like that. It's not our bad things. It's not the things that we're trying to hide from people. It's the things we want to show people. the most righteous and most perfect thing you've ever done in your life, in the sight of God, is like an unclean, filthy rag. You're full of sin. Let me give you the prescription. Just as that man needed to believe that Jesus was able to clean him, so we must do that spiritually. So we're reminded of the beautiful gospel of John, John 11:26, and whoever lives, this is Jesus speaking, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. It's not an empty faith. It's a faith based on knowledge, and it's a belief in what Christ was and who he was acknowledged to be, the spotless Lamb of God, and what he did on the cross of Calvary. I didn't even go in, by the way, to all the procedures with regard to what happens to someone who is cleaned of their leprosy. That's part of it. Go show yourself to the priest and do the offering. You know what that offering involved? The death of three spotless lambs, actually. There is a sprinkling of blood. There is a sacrifice where the lamb was burnt up. A picture of the wrath of God being poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. And the sprinkling of that innocent blood and the sprinkling of water and then the anointing with oil is a picture of exactly what Christ can do for us. He washes us in his own blood. As a little boy rightly said, it's the only detergent out there that can wash our sins. The prescription is faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe in him. And lastly, I would say, just simply to close our time, give testimony. Because that's what he said in the end. I want you to go. You don't even have to go to everyone, but I want you to go to these priests and offer that as a testimony to them. And the question is, has God made you clean? Has Christ washed you in his blood? And brothers and sisters, give testimony. Let people know. Give glory to God. And maybe, just maybe, in the providence of God, who knows, but your word may be used to bring someone else to saving faith as well. But if he's made us clean, we ought to give testimony and glory to the living God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you all praise and thanks that there is such a one as the Lord Jesus Christ who is able to make us clean. We are so thankful that we have come face to face with him this day. And how we pray that those who are dead in their sins and trespasses and cannot even feel the reality of their sin anymore, and who are full indeed of sin, every part of their being, how we pray, Lord, that they would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that they would be cleaned, every part of them. We do pray, Lord, that you'd enable us to give glory to you, who has provided such a wonderful Savior and a beautiful gospel. We give testimony to the world around us that this Jesus is for them as well. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.